The sun in his eyes reminded him how time was passing. So he took the conch down from the tree and examined the surface. Exposure to the air had bleached the yellow and pink to near white and transparency. Ralph felt a kind of affectionate reverence for the conch, even though he had fished the thing out of the lagoon himself. He faced the place of assembly and put the conch to his lips. The others were waiting for this and came straight away. Those who were aware that a ship had passed the island while the fire was out were subdued by the thought of Ralph's anger, while those, including the Littlans, who did not know, were impressed by the general air of solemnity. The place of assembly filled quickly. Jack, Simon, Morris, most of the hunters on Ralph's right, the rest on the left under the sun. Piggy came and stood outside the triangle. This indicated that he wished to listen but would not speak, and Piggy intended it as a gesture of disapproval. "The thing is, we need an assembly." No one said anything, but the faces turned to Ralph were intent. He flourished the conch. He had learnt, as a practical business, that fundamental statements like this had to be said at least twice before everyone understood them. One had to sit, attracting all eyes to the conch, and drop words like heavy, round stones among the little groups that crouched or squatted. He was searching his mind for simple words, so that even the Littlans would understand what the assembly was about. Later, perhaps, practiced debaters, Jack, Morris, Piggy, would use their whole art to twist the meeting. But now, at the beginning, the subject of the debate must be laid out clearly. "We need an assembly, not for fun, not for laughing and falling off the log." The group of Littlans on the twister giggled and looked at each other. "Not for making jokes or for..." He lifted the conch in an effort to find the compelling word. "For cleverness. Not for these things, but to put things straight." He paused for a moment. "I've been along. By myself I went, thinking what's what. I know what we need, an assembly to put things straight. And first of all, I'm speaking." He paused for a moment and automatically pushed back his hair. Piggy tiptoed to the triangle, his ineffectual protest made, and joined the others. Ralph went on. "We have lots of assemblies. Everybody enjoys speaking and being together. We decide things, but they don't get done. We were going to have water brought from the stream and left in those coconut shells under fresh leaves. So it was for a few days. Now there's no water. The shells are dry. People drink from the river." There was a murmur of assent. "Not that there's anything wrong with drinking from the river. I mean, I'd sooner have water from that place, you know, the pool where the waterfall is, than out of an old coconut shell. Only we said we'd have the water brought, and now not. There were only two full shells there this afternoon." He licked his lips. "Then there's huts, shelters." The murmur swelled again and died away. "You mostly sleep in shelters. Tonight, except for Sam and Eric up by the fire, you'll all sleep there. Who built the shelters?" Clamour rose at once. Everyone had built the shelters. Ralph had to wave the conch once more. "Wait a minute. I mean, who built all three? We all built the first one, four of us the second one, and me and Simon built the last one over there. That's why it's so tottery. No, don't laugh. That shelter might fall down if the rain comes back. We'll need those shelters then." He paused and cleared his throat. "There's another thing. We chose those rocks right along beyond the bathing pool as a lavatory. That was sensible, too. The tide cleans the place up. You Littlans know about that." There were sniggers here and there and swift glances. "No people seem to use anywhere, even near the shelters and the platform. You Littlans, when you're getting fruit, if you're taken short..." The assembly roared. "I said, if you're taken short, you keep away from the fruit. That's dirty." Laughter rose again. "I said, that's dirty." He plucked at his stiff, grey shirt. "That's really dirty. If you're taken short, you go right along the beach to the rocks. See?" Piggy held out his hands for the conch, but Ralph shook his head. This speech was planned, point by point. "We've all got to use the rocks again. This place is getting dirty." He paused. The assembly, sensing a crisis, was tensely expectant. "And then about the fire." Ralph let out his spare breath with a little gasp that was echoed by his audience. Jack started to chip a piece of wood with his knife and whispered something to Robert, who looked away. "The fire is the most important thing on the island. How can we ever be rescued except by luck if we don't keep a fire going? Is a fire too much for us to make?" He flung out an arm. "Look at us. How many are we? And yet we can't keep a fire going to make smoke. Don't you understand? Can't you see we ought to die before we let the fire out?" There was a self-conscious giggling among the hunters. Ralph turned on them passionately. "You hunters, you can laugh. But I tell you, the smoke is more important than the pig, however often you kill one. Do all of you see?" He spread his arms wide and turned to the whole triangle. "We've got to make smoke up there, or die." He paused, feeling for his next point. "And another thing." Someone called out, "Too many things!" There came mutters of agreement. Ralph overrode them. "And another thing. We nearly set the whole island on fire, and we waste time rolling rocks and making little cooking fires. Now I say this, and make it a rule, because I'm chief. We won't have a fire anywhere but on the mountain, ever." There was a row immediately. Boys stood up and shouted, and Ralph shouted back, "Because if you want a fire to cook fish or crab, you can jolly well go up the mountain. That way we'll be certain." Hands were reaching for the conch in the light of the setting sun. He held on and leapt on the trunk. "All this I meant to say. Now I've said it. You voted me for chief. Now you do what I say." They quietened slowly and at last were seated again. Ralph dropped down and spoke in his ordinary voice. "So remember, the rocks for a lavatory, keep the fire going and smoke showing as a signal. Don't take fire from the mountain. Take your food up there." Jack stood up, scowling in the gloom, and held out his hands. "I haven't finished yet, but you've talked and talked. I've got the conch." Jack sat down, grumbling. "Then the last thing. This is what people can talk about." He waited till the platform was very still. "Things are breaking up. I don't understand why. We began well, we were happy. And then..." He moved the conch gently, looking beyond them at nothing, remembering the beastie, the snake, the fire, the talk of fear. "Then people started getting frightened." A murmur, almost a moan, rose and passed away. Jack had stopped whittling. Ralph went on abruptly. "But that's Litland's talk. We'll get that straight. So the last part, the bit we can all talk about, is kind of deciding on the fear." The hair was creeping into his eyes again. "We've got to talk about this fear and decide there's nothing in it. I'm frightened myself sometimes, only that's nonsense, like bogies. Then when we've decided, we can start again and be careful about things like the fire." A picture of three boys walking along the bright beach flitted through his mind. "And be happy."